Jim Taylor on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Good to have you along. Get out and support our youth today, man. A perfect day to go watch a baseball game. You can do that at Northside Park today. Mercer County is hosting the Galva Wildcats. And then across town, you're going to go watch the Golden Eagle softball team play. They're hosting the Galva Wildcats today. I think those doubleheaders start at 11 o'clock. And also today, if you're looking for something to do, go fishing, they say, right? We're joined by Aaron Hart, who is an ag teacher at Mercer County High School, and we can say the long-time bass fishing coach, the only bass fishing coach at Mercer County High School with John Swank. We've had just the same coaches in charge of the program. Good morning, Mr. Aaron Hart. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully I can do justice here to this prestigious program. I feel like there's been a lot of people before me, you know, that I've listened to in the morning on this program that, you know, hopefully I don't let them down. I remember the morning still I was listening and you were interviewing, I think it was maybe Katie Hassan and Bill Breeden come busting through the door and had some stories. So
yeah.
I do want to give a shout out.
Maybe Bill Breeden will come in today and tell us some fishing stories because he helps a little bit back in the day with
He does. I wanted to make sure I included that the very first year that we did this as Alito. Mr. Breeden was the other Alito coach with myself, and Mr. Swank was down at Westmer at that point in time. But I was actually kind of more hoping that Mr. Swank would come busting through the door and help out.
He can only talk high school wrestling on this show because he's been on over the years.
That might be.
So before we start here, I think it's interesting because we get off the beaten path here a lot of different things. And we were talking off the air the 11th year for, I think, the program. Well, the 11th year the IHSA has had a state tournament series in bass fishing this year. And Mercer County's been part of every one of them, and then the year before, Alito was a part of it. So that means, if you forget about it a little bit, that this is the 10th year of the consolidated Mercer County School District. I think that's an important milestone. Can you just kind of share some observations from a teacher, an ag teacher, of, you know, the 10-year process of consolidation, well, 2 years, I think 2 years of work leading up to the actual consolidation taking place, but it seemed to be a pretty smooth transition, I think.
Yes, like you said, as we were talking off air, I mean, I've watched other school districts in the area that have gone through consolidation and talked to teachers, ag teachers with them, and I hear some of their problems and some of their hiccups along the way, and I really, like I said, maybe my memory's a little foggy or I forget things, but it sure seems to me like the consolidation has been pretty smooth. You know, the first, you know, maybe year or 2 years, you know, you had your growing pains and maybe some personalities and attitudes that didn't mesh. But, you know, it seems now at the 10-year mark, like you said, that things are really, really smooth. I think the faculties that merged and came together, you know, have meshed really well, and the students, you know, the students are probably the easiest to accept that change. But
and the other thing, from your direct perspective, two very strong agriculture programs coming together too.
Oh yes, like I'd commented to you there before, the last year of Alito, we had a big senior class. We had a very active group of FFA members. And when they graduated, we wondered, you know, how we were going to fill that void. And the group that actually came in as seniors the first year of consolidation, at least on the ag student side, was a big class from Westmer. So it was a great transition there. And I still remember a lot of those kids, Garen Nelson, Jordan Frieden, Dylan Brown. I mean, them guys were just huge ag and FFA kids and farm kids, and it really made our transition, I think, a lot better. You know, hopefully I didn't offend anybody by not naming all their names that were in that class, but, you know, it was a very prominent class that I think stood out in me and Mr. Chaussey's mind as well that really helped us with that merger.
So. All right, so getting to bass fishing, that was well said about the consolidation, too, and it's amazing that it's been 10 years. I mean, man, oh, man, yeah. it's amazing that it's been 10 years. You know, I've covered this bass fishing thing for a while, and I think one of the things that we strive to do here at the radio station, and John will tell you that, you know, we want to give attention to kids that do more than, and I'm not disrespecting, you know, give coverage to kids more than just play football or basketball or whatever. I mean, bass fishing, whatever the activity is, I like to share the success of a lot. And there's a lot of things I don't understand about things, but I like to give them attention. Ag kids included with the great things they did. And by the way, see, I told you we'd get off the beaten path. Ag program had another stellar week. This week I saw at WIU yesterday. Was strong. And then and Sharon and Hank won top overall. I think the team finished seventh at that competition.
Yes,
and
very good
day. Hank won
the job interview.
Interview resume thing. So, yep. I mean, it seems like every week I get some information with something.
Well, the
ag program does. So,
the FMA program is extremely busy. I mean, if you could see the schedule and the contest, I mean, there's something about every couple of weeks going on at either the section or the district or the state level. And it's definitely a busy schedule. And thankfully, we've got a very supportive community and a very agricultural-based community. And those kids are striving at these career development events that they're going to. So,
all right. So I was when I first started covering this, I remember Dave Ganaway was the administrator in charge of the IHSA bass fishing when they brought it in. You know, and there was a little tongue-in-cheek with, man, they're really going to have a state tournament series in bass fishing. Come on. Well, first year, 199 teams, bass fishing teams. And I think this year, so 10 years in or 11 years in, they've increased that by 113 teams, about 10 teams a year. So they're at 311. And I was talking to Kurt Gibson last week, who's the IHSA administrator in charge of it now. And this is so funny. And I don't know if you heard the interview. He said, you know, one of our big issues now is there's so many teams doing it. Do we need another level of competition where there's a regional format first and then a sectional format first? And then he said, we're running. Our big issue is trying to find more spots to fish at.
Yeah. I did catch part of that interview. Yeah.
So that's the interesting thing about it. You want more teams, but are there enough places to fish?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, you're kind of drawing back on my memory banks here because I remember for a couple of years leading up to the inception of the bass fishing at the state level, and I had kids that were coming into class, specifically like my environmental science class and things like that. They're like, hey, I hear they're going to start bass fishing. We want to do that. We want to do that. Well, I'd had some different conversations with Brian Dennison, who was the AD at the time, and he was supportive of it, and he was even like, you know, if that's something that happens, you know, then we'll see if we can't, you know, throw our hat in the ring. And funny enough, Mr. Swank, hopefully I'm not misspeaking here, but I'm pretty sure he was on the advisory committee
for the bass fishing.
So before this all got going, he was on that committee, and I think had a few meetings, you know, down there with probably Ganaway and all them. So he was definitely in it from, you know, the grassroots, if you will. But there's been an interest there. Like I said, even before they actually rolled it out and said, I mean, the buzz just around school and in class was, you know, hey, can we do this? You know, because like you said, it's students that maybe aren't into football or basketball. You know, they've grown up with dad or grandpa or whoever and done a lot of fishing. And so that created a lot of excitement. And then as soon as they rolled it out, like I said, Mr. Breeden was down there right away talking to me. And we worked with Westmer. We did everything together. I mean, when we practiced casting, when we made lures, when we went out fishing on farm ponds, I mean, it was Alito and Westmer together at everything that we did. So then that next year when we did merge and consolidate, you know, we didn't, again, see any hiccup there at all. We just continued right on doing what we were doing.
All right. So you have the IHSA sanctioning a state tournament series in bass fishing. And I was talking to Ed Cross this week. He's with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and they call it, what is it, the National Archery in Schools Program.
Oh, I saw that.
It's NASP, I think, is the acronym, how they say it. And they have a state archery tournament that's at the Orr Building at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. And he talked about the relative growth. I think they have 1,000 participants, something like that. And I think 36 some odd schools. And they take it down to, like, it's elementary school division.
Oh, yeah.
Middle school and then, you know, high school division. But he talks about, you know, that kids become good stewards by hunting stewards by learning the right way. And, you know, a perfect segue, too, is I know this weekend is, I talked to IDNR earlier this week, and there's a,
there's a Hunter Safety.
Hunter Safety Education course going on this weekend at Keysburg. I think they have it at the First Christian Church in Keysburg. Alan Henshaw's been doing it for 40 years. So, you know, becoming good stewards in the outdoors is really important in getting these learning processes. You know, if you want to hunt at a local farmer's land, be respectful, you know, and these type of things teach that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the fishing type of situation, too, because as my dad is probably listening today, talk to that Hart guy about finding some fishing spots for me out there in Mercer County. But how important is the good stewardship thing in doing this? You know, respecting the landowner's rights and making sure you have requested the right to fish at that property, if you see what I'm saying. I mean, that's a big part of this, too, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And you touched on, you know, a lot of different outdoor activity there between archery and hunting and fishing. But the going theme through all that, like you said, you hit it perfectly, is respect for the land, respect for the wildlife, respect for the landowners. And we do hit that very strongly with the kids. And on the fishing side in particular, since I guess that's why I'm here, you know, we make them know that, or let them know that, you know, you can't just go back and fish this pond whenever you want to. You know, we've got a special permission, I guess, with these landowners to come in with the kids and fish. And they know that if it's something that they want to do, you know, this summer, let's say, when they've got free time, that they need to go through the proper process of contacting that landowner to get permission. But, you know, I will say there's such a supportive network there of people in this town, you know, that do a lot of fishing and have ponds, and they've opened their doors to us and said, this is great, we love the fact that there's younger people getting into the sport, we'll help them out with any, if they need gear, if they need boats to go when we go fishing, whatever we can do to help, we will help, and they're very supportive.
So I was talking about the state archery thing, that again, the IDNR oversees the NASP program, again, National Archery in Schools program. And I think the IHSA has a relationship with IDNR, with state bass fishing. It's Carlisle Lake. It was interesting because, you know, they bid that site out for the state tournament series. And when I was talking to Kurt Gibson, you know, sites can bid on, I think in 2 years, they open it up for bidding again for the state bass fishing site. So, but I know there's other states where the trap shooting that's taking off, I think, in other states where it's sanctioned. I mean, do you see that?
Sanctioned as far as on where, the like a, IHSA?
Well, it's like the high school association in that state has a state tournament series in trap shooting.
Correct. I've got a couple nephews out in Nebraska, and I think that's
one of the states.
Trap shooting, as far as Illinois, I don't want to speak for, I guess, all over the state, but I know around here that falls kind of to the FFA. There's a lot of FFA trap shoots.
Do you think that's worthy of the – because I think the IHSA a little bit – they don't realize if they would have outdoor sports, in my opinion, living in a rural area now, how those type of things take off, because I think they're surprised at bass fishing. But the next big movement for the IHSA is the, I want to make sure I'm calling it the right name, I call it video game state titles, but everybody gets mad and they say, Taylor, it's not video gaming, it's esports.
Esports, yeah.
That's going to be the next big move, and you can see that they've created the advisory body for that now, and there'll be a state tournament series in that. But do you think it's worthy to explore additional outdoor activities in a state tournament series, whether it be the IHSA taking over maybe an archery situation or a trap shooting or not?
Well, you're really putting me on the spot on that one there, Jim. You know, the world we live in, I guess, try and PC dance around that one a little bit. Personally, though...
But that's, again, in my opinion, that's the good stewardship of doing it the right way.
I guess I'll just throw it out there since you bluntly asked me the question. Yes, I do believe that that would be a big event for the IHSA. Yeah. I mean, around here, like I said, the FFA, we've gone to trap shoots for years now with the students, and we've got, you know, we've had some success with that, and, you know, as far as the students, you know. And it is a good stewardship thing, and I think it's a way to teach the students at a young age the proper way, you know, to do things, to handle, to respect the land, the good stewardship as you're talking about. So.
All right, so I was asking Kurt Gibson a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, can you compare and contrast your being the IHSA administrator in charge of bass fishing and being the IHSA administrator in charge of basketball? So I'll ask you, it's interesting for me because I say, well, golf coach, bass fishing coach, ag teacher. So I would think there's kind of like more, you know, a lot of more comparison than contrast. Cause I'd say like, you know, you can say, you know, the patience that is needed to work with a feeder steer, the patience that is needed to watch the corn grow, as they say, the patience that is needed to play golf, and man, come on, the patience that is needed to bass fish, right? Can you compare and contrast all the things you do? A lot of similarities or a lot of differences?
Well, first of all, they're all outdoors, I guess, yeah. If you notice that, so that kind of gives you probably a little bit of a key into my personality, but yeah, I mean, I grew up hunting, fishing, golfing. You know, Dad always had us out golfing. So, you know, the fact that I can combine those two together now as a teacher and coach both those sports is amazing, and hopefully the kids appreciate that as well. I've got a lot of relationships with students from the past that I still talk to today. So that's a great thing to make that, you know, that connection and that networking. But yeah, golf, you know, it's a little bit more, you know, hands-on. I would say the big comparison is that you may not think of right away is the competitiveness. I mean, even we were out these last 2 days or 2 days this past week fishing, and it was cold and it was windy and it was wet. But those kids didn't want to leave the side of that farm pond. They wanted to go right up to the bell and try and catch as many fish as they can, which I'm sure we'll get into talking about, you know, later here on how we run things in Mercer County. But it's probably more competitive than you think it.
I know. I was there last year. I wanted to go to an event, and I went up to Savannah for the sectional. Mm-hmm. And the anticipation of when they weigh the fish, take them out of the live well, and, you know, you talk to the kids, and everybody's waiting around that tent. And most of the kids know what the weight's. You know, I'm looking at the fish, and they're like, well, this is going to be whatever the weight is. They're within, you know, I mean, they're right there. I'm like, man, how do, I mean, that's kids that have fished for a while. I was thinking about like the state tournament series here locally. We go up to Savannah. What is that pool? It's off the Mississippi River. I can't remember the pool number.
Gosh, you're gonna put me on the spot.
Yeah, and
it's
pool
13.
It's between Savannah and Thompson. I know up on Illinois Route 84. Here's another question. Any chance we could do it down here in one of the pools near New Boston? I think we should try to host a bass fishing site and get the home, can you call it home court advantage?
Well, I don't know if you can call it
home court advantage.
Home river advantage. I don't know. I definitely probably wouldn't rule that out as a possibility, especially with your interview with Mr. Gibson. You know, we kind of alluded to the fact that there's just not enough sites. And if this sport at the state level continues to grow to where they've got more schools than they can fit on those sectional sites, they're going to have to start, finding other places to go. And you might see some more pools that are up and down the river here put in for that. I guess that's something that me and Swank have never, you know, fully talked about. I think maybe we've thrown it out there. You know, why don't we do it here? Since they're, you know, because when this first started, they were very explicit, and there would be no fishing on the river. And, you know, we've been up to Savannah now for...
almost every year, it seems.
I want to say five.
Is that what
it is? We've been up there. Because prior to that, we were down at Lake Argyle in Colchester, Macomb area. And then they opened it up to the river up this way. So they've crossed that, you know, bridge. And so hopefully, you know, maybe someday we can.
All right. So, and then I was thinking about it too. You know how they have like, here's another thing I was thinking about today as we're talking. See, you're going to run out of time. You're already running out of time, dude. You think there's no way we could talk an hour about bass fishing? Bro, we can talk about an hour. Right. So I was thinking about it like in IHSA. Okay, like the state wrestling tournament series, they have an individual state tournament series, and then they have a dual team. And I was thinking as we talking, well, they should have an ice fishing state finals and then do the spring fishing, bass fishing as well. Yeah. Man, you'd have a year ice fishing this year, wouldn't you? Do you, you guys don't do any ice fishing, though, to get ready, or do you?
We don't, not to get ready.
Most of the kids probably do.
We're a different...
Be tough ice fishing this past winter, dude.
Well... we're a little probably different program. I'm not sure how other schools do it and how they decide sectionals. I would have to talk to them to find out, but I'm kind of convinced that you've got a couple kids that maybe have parents or grandparents that are involved in different levels of competition, weekend competitions, you know, like Bassmasters and stuff like that, and that's how they get involved in it. Here at Mercer County, we have always had 20 to 30 kids involved in the program. And so we have to find a way, or we did find a way, to narrow that down to four. Because the IHSA sectional state series says that you can only have four students compete, two in a boat, two boats per school. So we've got a point system in place. But we try and do year-round stuff with them. I mean, we build lures. The kids can make their own lures and take them home with them. We didn't do it this year because of all the crazy snow days, but we build fishing rods every year. So the kids come in starting in January, and for about a month and a half or 2 months, they build their own fishing rod to get to take home with them. We have had years that we've done ice fishing tournaments. Like I said, the last couple of years have been not conducive to ice fishing, and there was a couple of years in there, too, that I know Mr. Swank had some knee problems and had some surgeries done that way, so he wasn't getting out and trekking through the snow. Yeah. But yeah, we try and do more of a year-round type of thing. We've even talked about trying to do some stuff in the summer with them and get them out on the river some more, or you know, do a couple-day, you know, kind of trip somewhere bigger that's not around here.
So you were telling me off the air this past week, you finally got out,
yes,
started to fish. Mostly you fish farm ponds, you indicated, and then. So you're not fishing against other schools. It's just the kids that are on the bass fishing team participate. So and that's where the point system comes into play. So like if you get a certain pound fish, I mean, explain how the point system works for those kids then to get into the boats for the state tournament series with the sectional.
Well, just like all tournaments you're going to go to, you got a 5 fish limit.
And you keep them in a live well, right?
For the state series, yes. When we're out farm pond fishing, we don't. We have the kids with a bump board measure how long they are. And there's a standard chart out there probably not 100% accurate, but there's a standard chart out there that says if it's a 12-inch fish, it weighs 1 pound.
I got you.
And so we've got this chart we work off of, and so they keep their top five, you know, biggest fish, longest fish, and we assign a weight to them based on that chart. So then at the end of the day, we just rank them, you know, who had the most weight on 5 fish, and we start at 7 points and work backwards. Everybody that went and fished, even if you weren't in the top 6, you get a participation point. So that at the end of our 7 or 8 tournaments that we fish just with the kids, that determines who our top 4 are.
Okay. And then they're in the boats, the two boats.
Correct.
For the state tournament series, and it's catch and release, right?
Yes,
for all mm-hmm. levels.
Yes.
And the way then the state tournament series works, at least the sectional format, is it 8 hours? They can be out there on the river for 8 hours
yeah.
up in Savannah.
Yeah, it can be up to 8 hours. I think there's a certain amount that they have to get in for it to count. Okay. That is, might be five.
But then how the live well comes into play, they can fish, and if they don't like the fish that's in their well five, they can switch it out during the competition, right?
Correct. They can call, if they catch a bigger fish, they can call the smaller one out.
And then what happens after that is how the scoring works then at the state tournament series. So explain how that
works. Well, it's strictly based on weight at that point in time. So once we, at the end of the day, when we're back into the ramp, the kids go get a bag, take the fish out of the live well up to the weighing station, and it goes onto a scale, and they get it, weighed in, precisely down to the, hundredth of a pound, and then it's ranked just strictly off of weight, top five fish and weight.
And last year was a pretty good year at Savannah. Yeah. There were some big boys that were caught.
There was a lot of big fish that were caught last year.
That was high water last year.
It was
time,
high,
right?
and we just caught it evidently at the right time, because I don't think there was any boat that didn't catch fish last year. I mean, it was a great. We've had so many years down at the sectional site to where we've had snow, we've had rain, we've been canceled, didn't catch any fish at all.
Well,
I mean,
and the thing, the because they take how many of the top boats out of the sectional? Because I was telling you when I was at the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association, we were talking about that, the annual banquet, and Kirk Gibson goes to the IBCA banquet, and he's like, what in the world is going on up in Savannah with the amount of fish that are caught up there? Because, like, the teams that were in 7th and 8th place were weighing way more than the top three in a lot of these other sectional sites.
Yeah, and even our site. I mean, you looked at 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the total weight that it took to get out. We were fortunate enough, and I probably should have done my history lesson before I came up here to remember when it was that we went to state. Was it four years ago? We were lucky enough to go down and experience that state tournament. But the year we got out, I think we got third, and we had 13.14 pounds of fish. And this year it was like 21 or 22 pounds to win it. We had 18 pounds in our boat and got fifth, So it's the river changes every year, and you never know what you're going to get condition-wise. And last year was just a phenomenal day of fishing.
Phenomenal day of fishing. As they say in education, a bad day fishing beats a good day teaching. Aaron is with us on this Saturday morning talking about the bass fishing program at Mercer County High School. We'll have more coming up on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
Rebuilding a home can be expensive. Many homeowners don't realize that their insurance may not provide them with enough coverage to build the same home in the same location. Country Financial is just one of a few insurance companies that offer insurance that covers the replacement cost of your home, even if that amount is higher than the policy limit. Call your Country Financial agent today to find out more about homeowners insurance. Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois. Must qualify for additional replacement cost coverage. Minimum insurance to value required.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So head to your nearest John Deere dealer today and get a 1 Series for just $99 a month. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Stop in and test drive today at Martin Sullivan, your local John Deere dealer.
6140 Run knows that foot comfort is important whether you're walking, running, or working. Red Wing Work Boots has arrived at 6140 Run, and there is an exclusive General Grind employee discount on Red Wings. They continue to carry Wolverine Work Boots as well. Plus, Mizuno and Brooks have been added to their running shoe lineup along with Saucony and Hoka. And to make sure those running shoes and work boots fit right, 6140 Run will custom fit you with Albert, their revolutionary 3D foot scanner that customizes your shoes to your feet, so make make sure your feet are comfortable this year with a visit to 6140 Run next to the Downtown Y in Galesburg. Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Alito.
All right, talking with Aaron Hart about the Mercer County High School bass fishing program. And how many kids this year?
I want to say 16 or 17 this year on the roster.
16 or 17. That's a good number, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a great number. I mean, we've had some years that were 25 or 30. They may not have been active in every, you know, different kind of program that we did, but... But these kids, like I said, 16 or 17, right around there, they've been there lure building. They've been out there in the cold weather this past week fishing, and they're really into it.
So take us back to your childhood. I'm assuming you were out there fishing at a young age.
Oh, yes. Always loved. My grandparents actually had a cabin down on Sturgeon Bay growing up, and, unfortunately, I guess my grandfather passed away at when I was 12. So any of the trips that were down to New Boston after that were kind of more maintenance and mowing and mm-hmm. going down and helping grandma. But yeah, I remember, you know, growing up down there, you know, swimming off the dock and throwing some line out in the water and probably didn't know anywhere near what I've learned now, and even stuff that I've learned from, you know, Mr. Swank and Mr. Breeden, because those guys have fished for years and been competitive and had fun and gone on Canada trips. And one of these days, I'll probably end up trying to get on one of those Canada trips. I know Swank's pressuring me. Yeah, I don't want to go. but yeah, learned a lot and done outdoor activities with hunting, fishing, Boy Scouts I was very active in growing up. So it's always just kind of been a passion and an interest of mine.
Have you noticed, because when I was talking to Kurt Gibson with the IHSA a couple weeks ago, he said the one thing he noticed is kind of the intensity of the competition. Now, if you can say that with bass fishing, but he says as it has grown, there has been more intensity of initially, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, a little fun when they first started it. But now, you know, there's some definite edge to it of teams trying to win it in terms of the competitiveness of it. You think of, you know, fishing, yeah, fun, you know, whatever. But he said now a little more. Do you get that sense?
Oh, yeah. And I alluded to that earlier, that you'd be probably surprised at the competitiveness that is out there. And like you said, tongue-in-cheek, a lot of people probably think, well, you're just going out there and throwing a bobber with a worm and waiting for something to happen. Well, live bait isn't allowed. So there is a lot of technique and a lot of patience, as you alluded to. But the competitiveness is crazy. And like I said, as you've seen this grow now, look at colleges. They're giving scholarships for bass teams. There's bass teams at like Western, I know has one or had one, and schools all across this country that have boats that are sponsored by the college, that are wrapped in school colors, that go to all these collegiate tournaments. And then that just leads up to ranks, up the ranks to all the different fishing associations out there that have tournaments on a weekly basis.
You grew up graduate of Kewaunee High School, right?
That's correct.
So what year did you graduate, if you don't mind me asking?
92.
Yeah. Yeah, you look that young.
No, thank you.
So when you reflect on this, I think about, like, you mentioned, we're talking off the air, we had Katie Hassan and Mary Flynn on talking about Title IX, which I say still modern history, where you know, female student athletes back prior to the mid-70s didn't get a chance to play interscholastic athletics within the IHSA like their male counterparts did. So that's pretty modern history for me. So I look at, like, bass fishing, this new activity, 11 years. You know, you didn't have the – you could go fish, You know, I get that, mm-hmm. but they didn't have a state tournament series for it in 1992 at Kewaunee. You know, what about that for you not getting a chance to get that type of opportunity? I think you'd probably think that'd be pretty neat back then, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, and I don't know how many people I've talked to throughout the community and even, you know, going outside of Aledo, if you're ever with groups of friends or people that you're meeting for the first time and you tell them what you're doing, and they're like, man, how come they didn't have that when I was growing up? And you could probably get that in any sport. I mean, baseball, let's go to that. I know when Mr. Chaussee was the first
baseball
coach of Aledo in 88. Well, 88 was my first year of high school, so think of anybody prior to that that would have said, man, wish we could have played baseball. And now it's so commonplace that we don't think about that, like you alluded to with the Title IX with, you know, Mary and Katie. In another 10 years from now, it's probably going to be one of those commonplace things that you're not even going to think about. But, yeah, it would have been great. And a lot of people, you know, around here, even going back that I had when I first started teaching, it's like, man, I wish we could have done bass fishing, or we could have done trap shooting, or we could have done archery. And it's just – it's change. And change a lot of times is for the good. And these are things that the state at the IHSA level are doing to try and get more kids involved, like you said, that may not be your typical sports kids. And I think it's great.
Yeah, so do I. And I think, too, the other thing, that the support you get, you mentioned some of the support. So, you know, the school doesn't have boats. So you need to get help from somebody out in the community. So you get that, right?
Oh, gosh, the support network that we have. I think of, Swank's got a boat. I think of Mr. Bodine has helped us. Joe Vance, Dave Langham.
Oh, that's right.
Dave Langham the last couple of years.
So I could get Joe Vance on here to talk about the 63 Dragon basketball team and bass fishing too, man.
There you go. Dave Langham has helped us out a bunch. I mean, he's went up and pre-fished. I mean, the guy loves fishing, and he'll drive up to Savannah and he'll pre-fish for a week before we go up there, and we'll even take some kids up.
Then you can develop the game plan.
Well, yeah, and you want to talk about competitiveness and intensity and just, yeah, strategy. That's where it's at. I mean, these teams that are winning sectionals and going to state, I mean, they're fishing tournaments up there. They're up there every day after school fishing. And so we've kind of learned, that's one of the things I guess we've learned is we're hitting that pool and we're finding out, you know, what's working and what's not working. But Mr. Breeden with a boat, I know I'm going to end up leaving people out. Roger Koopman, if you know Coop, works over here at the Grind. He helped us last year and took his boat up and took one of the teams, and had a great day, just like we did. So,
all right. So I think, as our listening audience is tuned in today, right, I really think we need, with all the people you mentioned and the support of this, you know, I'm going to tell people right now, I think we really need to start the movement of, say, I'm not joking, to get a site down here, a postseason IHSA site off the Mississippi River. I really think we do. I think we're missing the boat on not having that, because I think we're perfect location, and we have the true natural beauty of Mark Twain's Mississippi down here in Mercer County and Western Illinois. So let's do
that,
it.
You've got that tie-in with Mr. Gibson now, maybe we need
that. You do, because we were at the ground level, man. We were the first year. We were the first 199 programs that had bass fishing teams and entered the first ever state tournament series. And then the other thing... Am I right? Do I call them uniforms?
Jerseys.
We have the highfalutin. I noticed last year, I don't know how many years we had them, but we got the pro style bass fishing jerseys. We looked the part. Yeah. How long have we had those?
I want to say it's going on probably 3 years now. But
they're neat. I mean,
they're great when you're out on the water, as far as breathable and UV protected. I mean, when you spend all day in about 8 hours in a boat, and you've got the sun beating down on you, you'd be surprised how red you can come off of the water. Or cold when like I said, we've had those days where it snowed. We've had days where it was raining and windy, and as long as it's not lightning, you know, you're on the water, and it can be miserable, and it can be extremely rewarding.
All right, from a teacher, student, relationship and then from a coach student athlete relationship. If you do it the right way, sure, you can teach something to the student, but if you're doing it the right way, the student can also teach you something. It's a give and take. And I think with athletics too, the coach sometimes has to learn from the student athlete. So from a bass fishing perspective, the maybe some of the nuances that you've kind of learned while you've done this, like while you say, well, man, I didn't know I could do it this way, or this is an interesting way of approaching fishing, whether it would be with like lure building, or whether it be actually in the water fishing, where you learned something and it said, man, this kid's onto something here. So has there been something, some aha moment for you in terms of doing this that you can share with us?
Well, like with any other sport, I guess repetition is key. The more you do something, the more proficient you're going to get at it. And you look at these kids that are fishing up on the river now and fishing in these tournaments, and they're really into it. These kids have taken more cast than you can probably even fathom. And so that just helps with their efficiency. Fishing the river is a little bit of a different animal. You know, I'm not going to deny that. I've learned a lot on being up on the river versus just, you know, farm pond fishing or casually fishing that you might do growing up. And a lot of the guys that do it on a regular basis, like I've thrown out the Dave Langhams and Mr. Swank and Roger Koopman, I mean, those guys that do it all the time, I mean, yeah, you definitely pick up as you're standing next to somebody in a boat and you're doing it your way and you see them doing it and you start asking questions. And it's, yes, it's competitive, but everybody's there to have fun and everybody's there to help the person next to him. So, you know, we get kids of all different levels, and, you know, we're teaching them how to tie knots because maybe they don't know how to tie the proper knot for a lure or how to, you know, properly reline a fishing rod. And so there's all, you know, varying levels there, but that's stuff that those kids are going to remember and they're going to take with them and continue to use. And at some point in time in the future, they're going to pass that along to somebody else and say, you know, hey, this might be a better way to do this. So it's that paying it forward, I guess, and good stewardship.
Yeah, so the kids seemed receptive then.
Oh, very receptive. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, going back, I guess, to your original question, teaching, coaching, you know, FFA advisor, whatever, it's such a different relationship with the students, and I think that's why it attracted me. I grew up, you know, doing a lot, like I said, with the Boy Scouts and working on camp staffs and, you know, teaching merit badges to kids. And that's where I think I finally got to that aha moment in my life to where I went, well, I love agriculture and I love kind of help teaching kids. So I put the two together and did ag teaching. But it's a different relationship. I think it's a little bit more laid back. You've got a little bit more of a personal connection with the students and you talk about more of what they do maybe outside of school. You spend nights on a bus going out to eat with them after meets or, you know, stuff of that nature. So you get a little bit more of that connection with them and know them a little bit more as a young adult than just a student or a name in the class. Mm-hmm. So that's very rewarding to have that connection. And like I said, I've got golfers that I still talk to on a regular basis that feel like daughters. I feel like I have a lot of daughters in the world. I've, you know, two sons, one son on the way, actually, I shouldn't say two, but one on the way, and I've got a lot of daughters. So that's awesome.
That's great.
An awesome feeling.
So in the course of you doing this for 11 years, in this context, what's the biggest single fish you've seen a kid catch? One come to mind, like, this Ooh. Is the whopper. This
yeah.
is the whopper.
Again, if I'd have done my research beforehand, I probably could have looked on our record board.
Oh, shoot, I gotta go see that thing,
We do have a record board down there for biggest fish and things of that. And I remember Dylan Murphy a couple years ago, Noah Price, who I think you've interviewed
yeah,
a couple times.
Yeah, they went to state, right? We've had
yes.
one boat go to state or a couple?
One. We had one go to state.
It was Dylan. It was who were the was it
Price? Him? It was Price, and it might have been Dylan.
I think it was.
Could have been. But I remember
I know we've talked to Cody Haglock about bass fishing.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Higgins kid, right? There's a Higgins kid.
Yep, fish, Cody.
Right?
Yep. But I know they both caught good 5.5 pounders. One was out here at Gillespie's Farm Pond, and I think another one was maybe at Muhlenberg's. We fish so many ponds, sometimes it's hard to completely remember that. But yeah, we've got some big farm pond bass around here.
Well, and I guess the other thing that I think that we're, and I'm speaking as a Unit 404 tax-paying resident, who I think extracurricular activities are so important, and as many as possible, in my opinion, because they add to the educational development of a kid, in my opinion, whatever that is. And I'm even, and a lot of people say, don't say it, Taylor, I'm even supportive of esports. You know, I think it's a team concept, and you get kids together, and that's important. They're part of something. So I think getting as many different things you can offer to kids, to me, is important. I'm surprised, though, a lot of area schools, we're fortunate here in Mercer County School District, in a rural school district. You would think a lot of rural school districts in this area would have bass fishing teams, but they don't. So if those people are listening that say, well, why don't we have a bass fishing team, that I heard Taylor talking to some dude on the WRMJ Sportsline on Saturday morning, and gosh darn it, why does Mercer County have a bass fishing team and we don't? So what do they need to do?
There's a lot of different avenues, I guess, there that I could take and run with that. First of all, thankfully to the Aledo School District and now Mercer County that they were supportive of it right from the get-go. And I think they saw that impact that it would have on the students and supportive of that as an extracurricular. So, you know, thank you for all the people involved with that. But I've had conversations, a funny thing, you bring that up. One thing I remember is a conversation on the golf course at Highland Springs, of all places, where a Rock Ridge parent came up to me one night and said, you do the bass fishing. I said, yeah. And he said, how do we do that? You know, and so I just kind of said, you know, hey, maybe you just put together a proposal, go to the school board, present to them what it is. We're lucky enough here that we do have, you know, a little bit of financial support for the club that helps pay for some of the supplies that we use. Other schools may not be that fortunate, but we are. There are more schools in the area, at least when I say that, LTC related, because I know last year
Annawan has a team, right?
Annawan, Williamsfield,
Rova
now, and they're kind of early grassroots, but they're wanting to do an LTC tournament.
Oh yeah.
So as you're talking,
let's go,
about this expanding, you know, the bad thing is last year I think they wanted to do it right here towards the end of April. Well, we're gearing up for the sectional tournament, and like you said, we have to have a point system in place to determine our four kids, so it didn't work out for us to go get into those fishing tournaments that they had. But there's fishing tournaments around the state now that schools are starting to host. And a lot of them are 4 or 5 hours away for us, so we can't make them. But it is growing, and it's expanding, and it's interesting to see where this is going to go in the future.
So, Aaron Hart, we're out of time, and I know you didn't get everything in.
No.
Did you? You didn't get everything in.
Probably not. You probably have more questions, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, and credit to you and Mr. Swank and the kids that participate in this, and a real credit to the Mercer County School District and the people that support this, because I think it's something that's something to be proud of, that the district offers this and the kids have embraced it. So well
Absolutely.
Done. And well done to the Ag program, too. They continue to do a good job. Thanks for coming in this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you and all your support that you give us.
All right, Aaron Hart, bass fishing. They say, what can I say again as we wrap up? A bad day fishing beats a good day on the radio. All right, that's Aaron Hart. We have our Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio segment.